The blues has captured listeners' hearts and imagination for more than a century. It's been the source of other musical styles, from jazz to rock. In this installment of the series, Honky Tonks, Hymns, and the Blues, Paul Brown explores the origins of the acoustic country blues.
Nobody knows for sure when the word blues became attached to a style of music. The word was first used to describe a mood, and by all accounts you have to be in the mood to sing the music, as Big Bill Brunsey and Memphis Slim told folklorist Alan Lomax in 1947.
I mean, it takes a man that had the blues to play the blues.
Well, you gotta be blue to sing the blues.
That's true.
Now if your luck don't change, boy, don't you be sad. Yeah, if your luck don't change, buddy, don't you be sad. Now you really gotta learn what to take the good now with the bad.
Just as we don't really know how the blues got its name, Joe Wilson, executive director of the National Council for the Traditional Arts, says we don't know exactly where or when the blues was born.
It's a form that arose before 1900, shortly before 1900, and no one knows exactly where it arose first. We know that it was somewhere south of Indiana, and it was between Texas and the Carolina coast. It seemed to have arrived in a lot of places at roughly the same time.
Wilson says that contrary to the most popular myth about the blues, there's no evidence that it was born in the Mississippi Delta.
Mississippi blues are wonderful, of course, and very special, but I think Mississippi blues became famous because people went up the river to Chicago. There were places to record there, and so they were heard earlier and better.
I'll get up in the morning, baby, with the rising sun. Ooh, well, in the morning, baby, with the rising sun.
The other big myth about the blues is that it grew directly from African roots. The truth is more complex, as composer and song collector W.C. Handy pointed out in an interview before his death in 1958.
There are people who think that the blues sprang into being without a proper musical foundation, but this is not the case.
There were instruments and styles of music in America with closer links to Africa. The diddley bow is a single string stretched from the ground to the wall of a house, which becomes a giant resonating board. Here it's attached to a hollow door and played with a piece of metal or glass sliding across the string. Store-bought instruments were out of reach for most southern blacks, so they made their own. The quill, a kind of panpipe, and the cane fife, cut from a reed, had their ancestors in primitive cultures. The other instrument with close ties to Africa was the banjo. All these musics and instruments filled the air in southern black communities long before the blues evolved. But after the Civil War, life changed for southern blacks in ways that gave them the blues. Jim Crow laws undid emancipation. The Ku Klux Klan became a powerful political and social force. Joe Wilson says as much as place, the times gave birth to the music that came to be called the blues.
It was a difficult time for people in the black community. This was the first generation of people to be born after slavery. There was a lot of dislocation and movement in the country and a grave difficulty. You had freedom, but you also had Jim Crow, and nothing was certain. And it was a cry of despair, but also, I think, a cry of hope.
And it was a secret cry of defiance. As Big Bill Brunsey told Alan Lomax, there were things that could be said in song that couldn't be said to a boss's face.
I've known guys that wanted to cuss out the boss
and he was afraid to go up to his face and tell him what he wanted to tell him, and I've heard him sing words back to the boss, just be behind the wagon, hooking up the horses or something other, and go to singing and say things to the horse, you know, horse make like the mule stepped on his foot, say, get off my foot, goddammit, or something like that, you know, and he meant he was talking to the boss.
This little song that I'm singing about, brother, you know it's true. Now, if you black and got to work for a living, this is what they will say to you. They say, if you's white, she's all right. If you's brown, stick around. And as you black, go, brother. Get back.
Songs of protest, hard times, and lost love became the popular music of Southern blacks. Traveling musicians entertained audiences on street corners and on farms. Honey Boy Edwards was one who walked from place to place and played for food.
I'd walk through the country then. I know there's a lot of people in the country. Stop and spend the night playing a little guitar and did cook for me. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I walked everywhere I wanted to go nearby. I know people walking. Pretty baby, can't you ride with me tonight?
The blues provided the soundtrack for Saturday night dances at juke joints across the South. After 5 days of dawn to dusk labor, plantation workers got off a little early on Saturdays and they were ready to cut loose. Before long, says Jim O'Neill, the co-founder of Living Blues magazine, the party moved from country dances to towns like Clarksdale, Mississippi.
That's where a lot of the field hands would go on Saturday night. They might go to a place on the plantation if someone was having a kind of a house party, but otherwise they might head for the nearest town. There's people in Clarksdale who can remember on a Saturday night where you could hardly walk because there were so many people.
The blues couldn't have happened anywhere else, says musicologist Joe Wilson.
Can I be chauvinistic? You know, I'm a Southerner. Actually, I think it's because we grew up together, a lot of us did. And there's a level at which there's always been some understanding, along with all of the evil that people primarily of my race have done to black people. But I think that cultures that are in a collision or rubbing against each other produce more quality than those that are monocultural.
The appeal of the blues quickly spread beyond the South. In 1909, W.C. Handy became the first to publish a blues, the Memphis Blues. The song made its way north in sheet music form without Handy's knowledge, and the folk style he'd incorporated into his composition became popular. But the old-style country blues was overtaken in the 1940s by its electric cousin, and it seemed lost to the mainstream. There was a revival during the folk boom of the 1950s and 60s, but singer, songwriter, and guitarist Taj Mahal says the earliest form of the blues has never left the rural South.
I remember one day we were driving along, and as we come around the bend, we look on the other side, and there's this like shotgun shack over there, and on the porch is a boy just sitting there, and he just working this guitar. You know, it's all over there. We just have to get off of the blacktop road and go on that dusty road to that little town that's got 127, 235 people off on the back road, and you will find somebody and some youngsters there playing the music.
It's even making its way back into the studio. For NPR News, I'm Paul Brown.
Every morning.
Sound clips are at npr.org. Next week, Jimmy Rogers.
I think of you the way...